T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is News Radio 1020 KDK. I'm Kevin Battle. Joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline is Dr. James Hughley, the University of Pittsburgh Center on Race and Social Problems. We were talking about some of the institutional racism that the U.S. government has had over the last few years since the 1880s. That was in our previous segment. If you missed it, just go to kdkradio.com, hit the rewind button, you'll be able to hear it. Dr. Hughley, you are a scholar of the black family dynamics, correct?
That is correct.
You've written extensively on that. And I hear of a strong black middle class that was in Pittsburgh in, say, the 20s, the 30s, and the 40s and 50s. What happened to the black middle class?
I'm not a localized expert, but I can tell you what has happened generally to black middle class communities and across the country. We spoke a little bit earlier around Reconstruction and opportunities that after the Civil War, African Americans had in general to advance themselves. And a lot of those opportunities were maximized and utilized as immediately after the Civil War. People were buying land. People were pursuing political office in high numbers and were beginning strong entrepreneurial endeavors. And what started to happen is some of the protections in the South were, 75% of black America was in the South after the Civil War. Some of the protections that the Army had been providing were withdrawn. And you started to see, racial rioting. You started to see terrorism from white Americans that, one, did not want to compete economically with black Americans, did not want to compete politically with black Americans they never had before. They were still reeling from all of the losses and bloodletting from the Civil War, so there was a lot of animosity and rage. And they put down these black advancements that were happening immediately. Pittsburgh has a different story because Pittsburgh's black population migrated here mostly in the 20th century, if I understand correctly. And there may have been some strong enclaves early on, but a lot of what happens with the steel industry, which drew a lot of labor and ancillary industries, blacks were relegated to the lowest rungs of that industry. And they were also segregated into the least desirable housing spaces. And when the industry collapsed, blacks bore an incredible brunt of that. They also bore the hardest piece of the public health challenge that the steel industry worked present. Because they had very little political power, you can have a situation where, basically the steel industry was partially annexed for, civic interests.
Yeah, the civic arena. The civic arena was put up there. And they say that when they built the civic arena, that destroyed the soul of the Hill District.
That's what I've heard and read as well. But that can only happen when you have limited political and economic power.
Yeah. Dr. James Hughley of the University of Pittsburgh joins us now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. And you had mentioned the segregation in the mills and things like that. That happened to every group of immigrants that came into the country, but they were able to quickly sort of assimilate a lot faster just based on their color of their skin. And so I think the black community had a much more difficult time with it, as you mentioned, especially when the mills started closing. I wanted to ask you about your the family aspect of the current crisis. As we've talked about the history of systematic or institutional racism here in the United States, in the Address the Unrest Summit on kdkradio.com, I asked you about the one family member that we all have that we never wanted to let down in our lives. What role does family, or the lack thereof, or the issues facing the family play in our current crisis?
You know, family is a bedrock institution in our society, and I know that there's, you know, a popular sort of notion that challenges of the Black family faith are a part of, are attributable to some deficit in family structure. And, you know, to speak to that and to put things in context, one, I'd say it's a little overblown in terms of what we're looking at. When you look at, like, divorce rates and marriage rates, 2/3 of Black adults do get married by their mid-40s. So it's the majority or vast majority of Black people do get married. That number is higher for whites. It's about 90%. So that's a much higher number. Divorce rates are actually quite similar. Blacks get divorced at about 48% rate. It's a little higher than what it is for whites. But when we look at the roots of the disparities that we do see, you have to go back to what family has meant for the Black community over the course of American history. You know, when I teach my students about history and Black history and Blackness and anti-Blackness, I actually start in Africa so that they can see that the Black societies that people were coming from were sophisticated, they had international relations, there were Black emissaries at the Vatican in the 16th century. When the slave trade happened and people migrated or were forced migrated here, they were not allowed to have families. 75-80% of Black men at that time, in the time of slavery, were not in nuclear family relationships. 2/3 of all Black fathers were not able to be with their families. And so America, for 200 years of slavery, disenfranchised the Black family. It was not something that was a common notion in Black America during slavery. And so that needs to be understood. And then you have 100 years after that of economic oppression against African Americans, 150 years of their existence. And that is really attributable to oppressive mechanisms in American government and in American social society. But I also want to say the story is not, it's overgeneralized. The media makes you think that there are no strong Black families. That's just not the case. That's part of what the media tells us. But the true story of why we see challenges we see is really structural. It's systemic. It's about economic subordination. It's about social exclusion. And these are the mechanisms that undergird it. And really, the story of the Black family is one of resilience.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about having 7 to 10 generations where you were not even allowed to have a family, to have any semblance of family, which the Black community certainly does, is pretty impressive. And so it's really a story of resilience as I look at it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.